going from Corinth to Ephesus to Jerusalem, back to Antioch, his home church, and from verses 23 of Acts chapter 18. It must have been a very quick rest, maybe just a few weeks or months. Paul is going to start his third missionary journey. And today we are looking at two things here: the power of God's Spirit, and we're also looking at miracles as we get into chapter 19. Now, those are the two things that we really need today. How many of us here would say that we really need to experience God in His power? All of us would agree that we are thirsty and hungry spiritually for God to fill us, to empower us, to lead us and guide us. We also need miracles, don't we? Anybody needs a miracle? We see God doing a miracle here. The Bible records that it was an unusual miracle. And just like in Paul's day, we need miracles today. It is practically impossible to live in this life without stress, without exhaustion, without evil and all the rest. And it only takes a miracle for us to overcome, for us to walk successfully through this world. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we hunger and thirst for you, Jesus. We hunger and thirst for the feeling and the satisfaction that only you can bring. So Lord, our hearts are open. May you pour your Spirit in us, O God. Our minds are open, Jesus. May you wash our minds and refresh our minds, Lord, with your word. Jesus, we also need a miracle, Lord. Physical healing, Lord. Spiritual healing. Mental, Lord. Individual needs. We face impossibilities in this world. And we need your supernatural power, Lord. We need you to intervene in your might and in your power. So, Lord, I ask that as we study your word, that today may mark a beginning of a new experience with your Spirit, that you may empower us, Lord, each one of us here. Lord, whatever the miracle that each one of us needs, Lord, we ask that you perform it, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Picking up from verse 23 of Acts chapter 18. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia. In that order, strengthening all the disciples. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, assuring from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they say to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into the baptism of John," John's baptism. And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that day that they should believe in him who would come after him, that is, under Christ Jesus. When they had this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke rather evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from there and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia had the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the story creeps into chapter 19 there. When Paul goes around preaching, people coming to faith, believers continuing in the fellowship, we also see in the New Testament that majority of the content of the New Testament is actually Paul writing to these churches, these believers who had come to Christ through his preaching. He wrote to the Romans. We're going to see that he's going to Rome. He'll end up there. He wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote to the Corinthians, 2 letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The Galatians, we just saw him there passing through Galatia. Colossae, the letter to the Colossians. The Philippians. The Thessalonians. Could also write to individuals like Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. That is to say that the book of Acts is true and alive. And God continues to work through his people and write more stories through our lives. There are people, call them skeptics, who have made a point of their life to come against scriptures. They say that the Bible is a lie. It's not true. They just made it up. But over the years, some have actually taken these journeys that Paul took. They have walked exactly where the Bible records that Paul walked, and many of them have known the truth and have been saved. They have become Christians because this is truth in action. And not just historical truth, Paul going around many years ago. This is the work of God through his Spirit continuing to our day. As God continues to save and to do amazing things with his children. We're introduced to this figure called Apollos. He knew the Bible. It's recorded there that he was mighty in scriptures and he was very eloquent. But there was one problem with Apollos. He only knew just a little bit. Now we can laugh at him because he only knew a little bit, but what he knew really well. Did you notice? He only knew the Old Testament, the baptism of John, but he knew it really well. And then after teaching in a synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila, we saw them last week, Paul's companions, pull him aside and tell him, "Hey, Pastor, you're knowledgeable, eloquent, praise the Lord, but you only know just a little." And they were able to accurately tell him some more. Now that was a common problem back in the day because they did not have a complete Bible like we do. All they had were parchments from the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't compiled at that time. And all they had were the first 5 books of the Bible mainly, some Psalms, prophecies, which were actually limited to be only used by the priests and the scribes in the temples. So Apollos, much as was knowledgeable and really desired to know more, he only had a little bit of knowledge, and they would explain to him a little more. He must have been a humble person because preachers never want to be corrected. They think they know everything. And then Paul moves downwards, leaves Apollos in Corinth, goes through the upper regions, and came to the Ephesians again. Ends up in Ephesus. We saw Paul in Ephesus last week and was there for 1.5 years. And Paul ends up in Ephesus again the second time. History records that Timothy would be left to pastor the church at Ephesus, and probably Paul returns to see Timothy. No doubt his interest was to strengthen, like we read there, to strengthen all the disciples to continue teaching, and was there this time for 2 years. Ephesus actually wasn't a place of easy ministry, but this is where God wanted Paul, and he goes there a second time, and this time he even stays longer. There were some Christians there, and he asks them a question. When you believed, did you encounter the Holy Spirit? And just like Apollos, some of them were ignorant. They're like, we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. What are you talking about, Paul? And Paul would explain to them and teach them. There may be some ignorance concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. And thankfully, we're in such a place so that we can learn together. The Bible teaches that God is one at three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that. Now, we have a hard time comprehending that and sinking it in our brains. How can God be one and yet three persons? We can stay here and scratch our heads to try to explain that and to understand that, and we will not, because our minds are small. We just take it for the truth that it is. God is three persons, but there is one God. We see that in Scripture, the Father plans for salvation. He sends the Son to die on the cross. Jesus gets born and lives on the earth and dies on the cross. And remember that when Jesus was just about to ascend, he told his disciples that he was going to send them the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts 1:8? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses all across the world. So the Holy Spirit is God's presence today. God the Father, of course, God is ever at the same time. But we know that he's in heaven, reigning in glory. God the Son at his right hand. And God the Holy Spirit is here. And the Hebrew for spirit is actually breath or wind. It's God's presence. It's God's breath. It's God's wind blowing. And Jesus would teach his followers about the Holy Spirit. Some things that we're going to learn today as well. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus told his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." One of the things that the Holy Spirit would do is to teach and to help us remember the things that he teaches us. We can individually read the Bible and understand what God says. And the person who helps us understand what God says is called the Holy Spirit, here as Jesus mentions to his followers. He teaches us his ways. He also helps us to remember the things that we learn. His ministry is to help our memory, because we forget, don't we? We can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. By the time we get to Revelation, we forget what Genesis says. Are you like me? And when we forget, the Holy Spirit is there in us, is in us to remind us. So when we come to a place and we have to remember what Genesis says, God helps us to remember. Even without opening the scriptures, supernaturally, we are able to remember that, hey, the Bible says this in Genesis. When we come to a place of confusion, we've forgotten what God teaches about whatever the subject is. Have you ever experienced that when you actually remember what it was that God told you years and years ago? So the Holy Spirit is here to teach us. He's teaching us right now. He helps us each time we open up the Word to understand the Word. Have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit actually reminding you of scriptures? Maybe you have it memorized, but then you forget. And then you come to a place where you have to quote it. Maybe to a person, maybe it's an exam, maybe it's just a situation that you need that scripture applied. And you scratch your heads and finally remember. That is God helping you to remember. That is God helping us to remember His Word. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come." The Holy Spirit is a guide. Sometimes we get to a place of terrible confusion. You ask yourself, which way should I take? Which direction? Where should I go? What should I do in such a position? And God is there. And God is here in His Spirit to guide us. And sometimes we make a decision not even knowing that it's a right decision, and it's God who has helped us to make the right decision at that time. Sometimes we get lost. We get lost in our thinking. We get lost in our walking. But God, the Holy Spirit, is here to guide us. It tells you where to go, tells you what to do. He will speak and He will tell you things to come. God, through His Spirit, tells us of things ahead. Some of them are in scriptures, but God, through His Spirit, may tell you what is ahead tomorrow. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, supernatural abilities to serve one another, to build each other up and His church. Some are teachers, the Bible teaches. Some are prophets. Some just help. Some are gifted to give. Some gifted to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. Some are gifted in wisdom. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Knowing the right thing at the right place, having not known anything about it before. All this to say that God wants to help our ignorance, just like these Christians. And we need to know that God is with us to teach us, to guide us, to lead us by His Spirit. He's here to empower us. There was no way these 12 men were going to be able to spread the gospel to the entire universe, the entire planet. There was no way, except by the power of God's Spirit. Remember, in the book of Acts, they were actually hiding in an upper room. From the resurrection, they were in fear, hiding. And Jesus would finally tell them, go to one place and wait there. And they did. Before the coming of the Spirit, they were cowardly. After Spirit came upon them, they were courageous. And we all need the presence and the power of the Spirit to make a huge difference in our life. to help us overcome challenges, to help us make wise decisions, to help us understand truth, because there's so much deception out there. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. It's a very confusing world, isn't it? We need guidance. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" The Spirit is available for our asking. And we need to be asking God daily to fill us with His Spirit. Life is practically impossible without God living in us by His Spirit and filling us. Because we get weak, we get tired, we get confused, we get lost, we get deceived, we get attacked, we get tempted, we get stressed, and it takes the refreshment, the power, the teaching, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to make it through. One author said, "May not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill with His Spirit. May not a day pass without asking God to empower us, to fill us with His Spirit, because we need Him." The Spirit comes upon them. The Bible says that they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. They received the gift of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, predictive prophecy, knowing things ahead. But prophecy is also encouragement, strengthening the Christians about whatever was coming ahead. Tongues, other languages, praising God. Remember that happens in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. When God promised there, the Spirit would finally come and they spoke in tongues. Then chapter 1, later on, after the promise had been made. There are those who teach that when the Spirit comes upon a Christian, all they do is speak in tongues. That is not true. Tongues is just one of the gifts the Bible mentions. There is prophecy, you know, there is teaching, there is miracles, signs and wonders, there is wisdom, service, administration, and each one of us is gifted. And we need to be asking God daily to fill us with His power, to fill us with His Spirit. Because only then can we live a really healthy Christian life. Only then can we receive power to keep going. Only then can we make wise decisions. There is so much effort on making so many laws to curb crime and bad behavior. And a parliament can make as many laws as they want, right? It only takes God's Spirit for the human heart to change. The law will not change people. The law will just scare people from committing crime. But it will not change people. All we need is God coming down by His Spirit and touching them. And we've seen that through many generations to this day. Some people call it revival, when there is mass repentance. So many people coming to the Lord at the same time. We had that in East Africa, the East African Revival, in the 70s. And in the 80s, after Idi Amin was deposed. In fact, even through the dictatorship, revival was happening. It just blew to huge proportions after he left. Some people call it deliverance, an experience with the Holy Spirit, either at conversion or after salvation, where God comes and just transforms people. When drunkards come to Christ and they leave alcohol, and they totally live a completely different life. When the fearful become courageous, when the weak become strong, when people forsake sin and live for Jesus, when people make the right decisions, we are going to see next week that in there in Ephesus, there was so much godliness and the outpouring of God's Spirit that the people who made idols were out of business, and they organized a riot complaining that Paul had preached to people that they had become saved and they're not buying the idols anymore. That should happen to our city, where all the bars and everything wild closes down because people are saved. Then the bar owners can also get saved because they're out of business. We need to be praying that God pours His Spirit upon this country, the people in this country, because we need that most. That God pours His Spirit upon our judges and our leaders. That God's power may be upon us Christians. We need to be asking for that every day. And like Luke records there in chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus says, you simply ask. You want the power, you want the teaching, you want the guidance, you want Him to help you, you want Him to shape you. Just ask, and we're going to ask God to help us, to teach us, to empower us, to guide us, to shape us, to mold us, to give us courage. And then He would resume teaching there in the school of Tyrannus. And in verses 11 to 12, God does miracles. Acts 19, verses 11, 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now the person recording this is Luke, and he's traveled alongside Paul long enough to see many miracles happen. But look how he records this particular miracle. Unusual miracles. There was the usual miracles of people getting the lame getting healed, the blind getting to see, and so many we've seen so far. We have not seen somebody getting healed because he's using a handkerchief that Paul used. Completely unusual. Now, these were actually the handkerchiefs or sweatbands or aprons that Paul used while making tents. They were probably dirty and stinky because you know that leather stinks. Have you passed by a leather tannery where they process leather? The byproducts, the waste is actually, you can't stand it. It stinks so bad. Paul's handkerchiefs weren't probably clean or perfumed. There was nothing attractive about them. Now these weren't just handkerchiefs and aprons healing people. This was God using those things. God using clothes that Paul had used to heal people. Can you imagine? Some people try to mimic that today. They go to Israel, they get water from the Jordan, they buy hankies, they dip the hankies into the water, and they tell people, 10,000 per hanky, anointed hanky. Have you heard that? 50,000 if it's really anointed. Get it, put it wherever you You want healing and it will happen. Whatever the miracle, it will happen. No, it doesn't happen like that. We cannot put God in a box. We cannot figure God out and say, well, now God is healing people through handkerchiefs, so let's buy all the handkerchiefs, bring them here. The pastor prays for them, and then they'll be for healing. No. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, Peter's shadow. Can you imagine your shadow being an instrument of God's healing? Everyone wants to stand under your shadow? Even at noon when there's no shadow? Kind of bend so that kind of have a shadow, then somebody gets healed. Matthew chapter 14, verse 36. Remember the woman who touched a piece of Jesus' tunic, the hem, the very bottom? Remember the blind? Sometimes we just pray for them, they gain their sight. There's one particular, and he had to make mud with his saliva, put it in the guy's eyes, and told the guy, go wash. And the guy got healed. In some place, people asked him, oh, help us, heal us. And he told them, be it as you so desire. Be healed. And people are healed. And Jesus continues to heal today. You believe that? Not only does Luke record this as unusual, Paul himself must have been thinking, what? God is using my hankies to heal people? He must have been amazed as well. Now, miracles are amazing things. But on the other side, we should not be surprised when God does miracles. Neither should we be pursuing God just for miracles with our name on it. We pursue God for who He is. And if He chooses to do a miracle, to Him be the glory. So many people got healed. I don't think everyone was healed. Those who were there, and actually that probably happened in one day, in one place, and that was it. The other thing that we see is that probably the people weren't even asking for those miracles. Have you experienced a miracle when you actually have not asked for it, and God just does it? God can do that because He's a miracle worker. He's a healer. He knows our desires. And if you have a need that only a miracle can perform, God knows that. And maybe you're here to hear this because God wants to heal you. God wants to do that miracle that you so desire. Maybe you're there and you're not even asking for any miracle. But God can still perform a miracle. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus told His disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, and freely give. Freely we receive God's power, and freely exercise. Paul did not use the miracle opportunities to create an international Paul's ministry, not even for his publicity. Much as miracles amaze us, they should not surprise us, because God is a miracle worker. The God we know does miracles all the time. We can't even record all the miracles that we experienced. Life itself, I mean, being here and many other things. The psalmist said in Psalm 30, verse 2, oh Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. We are going to cry out to the Lord for miracles. We're going to ask God for healing. In Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. God is here to heal. He may use hankies, he may use shadows, he may use anything. He may use strangers, he may use rain or food or medicine or anything. He heals. He frees from demons, as we are going to see here. Now, this world is so sick and so ugly. All we need is a miracle, don't we? We face so many uncertainties. So many problems, and some keep getting worse. The Ebola virus in West Africa. All we need is a miracle, don't we? Just asking God, can you stop that, please? And there are things that will happen that requires a miracle. And men, in all their wisdom, will fail. There are things that nobody can fix. There's no cure for cancer and all viral diseases. And lots of other problems, medical problems, economic problems, social problems, mental problems. This world is infested by Satan. And people continually make sinful decisions as they become of the kingdom of darkness. Now, salvation itself is a miracle when somebody turns from darkness to light. And we need more of those miracles, right? When we see people coming from darkness and living sin and living righteous lives. We need a miracle. We need God's power. So let's stand and ask God. If there's anything in particular, please stretch out your hand to God and ask him. Let's stand and pray. Let's ask God to empower us with his spirit, to pour upon us his spirit, to pour upon this country his spirit. Let's ask God to heal us, to perform miracles. Lord, we thank you so much that you're here for us, Lord. Your spirit is here. And Lord, we ask that you teach us. We ask that you guide us. We ask that you help us. Jesus, we ask that you empower us, Lord. May you strengthen us. May you refresh our minds with your spirit. May you wash away all the dirt in our hearts and heads. May you purify us by your spirit. May you set us on fire, and fire for you. May we burn with zeal. May we be hot for you, Lord. That can only be done by your spirit, Jesus. May many repent in this city and this country as you pour out your spirit, Lord. May many turn from darkness to light. May you touch our spirit, our leaders with your spirit, Lord. May you encourage us with your spirit, Lord. May you teach us. May you remind us of the things that we learn, that we are able to apply them when the situation necessitates, Lord. Jesus, we are empty, so we ask that you fill us with your spirit. We are weak. We ask that you empower us by your spirit. Lord, we are foolish. Give us the wisdom that only comes by your spirit, Lord. We get lost and confused. We ask that you help us by your Spirit, Lord. There are those who may not know what their gift is, Jesus, and Lord, may those gifts be known and may they use those gifts to build your kingdom, to encourage one another, to build up one another. Lord, it's impossible to live on this earth without your miracle, Lord. And that many, many miracles that we so desire, Lord. Whether it's provision, whether it's strength, disease, sickness, whether it's wisdom, whether it's school or work, whether it's traveling or resting. Lord, we need your miracles everywhere and all the time. We need your supernatural abilities to overcome sin and to stand against all the attacks of the enemy. It takes a miracle, Lord. It takes a miracle for those people that we love so much to know the truth. Most of them are still in darkness, brothers and sisters and relatives and friends and associates and colleagues and schoolmates, Lord. It takes your miracle for them to know the truth. Jesus, may you heal the sick, Lord. May you heal our minds and bodies. May you provide. As some who need jobs, Jesus, and it's only possible by your miracle. Find them employment and to meet their needs, Lord. So, Lord, may you, in your mighty hand, do all those miracles that we so desire for the glory and honor of your name. And may we live to testify of your miracles every day.